My manners are the same, regardless.
So you want to use a 10-foot pole as part of a brewing process?
No, as part of a drinking process. Normally, your hand can hold one pint, but with a 10-foot pole...
I've gone back to recording this because this is actually too good to pass up. So we've got the Thunderstone idea where you drop a Thunderstone in the ale like a B-52 to carbonate the drink. You got the idea of licking the Thunderstone for reverb.
Well, maybe not an actual Thunderstone. Wildly watered down version that the average humanoid creature could handle.
Non-dwarf.
Okay. Well, what if you put it in the bottle like the tequila worm? The Thunderstone's in there doing its thing, fizzing the pop. I mean, it's like that's like 50 golder in this world, 50 silver.
That's why we take a lesser version of it.
We'll have a whole line. You know, you've got your seltzer line, icy cold all the time line with the mold ales with the
dwarves. Dwarven seltzer. I could just see like you guys got this big vat that's open in the top, you know, like from the Duff beer, and they got the dogs circling around in it, right? Only you guys have got this big sort of bellows at the bottom, and you've got Miros just like blowing in it to like make bubbles through the mix, you know.
Dwarven it's seltzer.
You know, doing the.
Dwarven, true dwarven carbonation.
We breathe life into every brew.
that's good. I like that.
D20. Let me get a book open here. Let me look at an inventory.
Yeah. What about you, Gibson? You're half a dwarf.
The better half.
The better half, yeah. The quiet half.
Well, wait when you get to like the end of the adventure and they want to fully initiate you and they drop trow and pull all your ass hair and stick it to your face just to patch in that straggly beard you got going.
No, the real burden is when you drop them into the brewery, like the big Stepan brewery. You don't get out of there until you drink it all.
That's like, not the problem.
It's like locking him in a closet with a pack of smokes, but he's already a pack-a-day kind of kid. He is a cleric of Canadian Killalian. What were we saying? Like this, there's Canadian Scotch whiskey or Canadian rye. Oh my God, I'm so tired. Canadian rye, it's called CC, right? And it's the standard, what we use for rum and coke or whatever, or rye and coke, rye and ginger ale. And... then there's CC, which we nicknamed the deity pathfinder that your character worships, right?
Yep.
That and then we're
say, so yeah.
Canadian club.
So he changed his name so he could say him.
Yeah. Keldon Kalalian?
Scotch whiskey.
They're close enough.
Ukulele something?
Yeah.
You know, the Canadian one. Nice. Hands up, right?
Caden Kalalian?
Caden Kalalian? Ukulele Caden Canadian? Kalalian? Canadian ukulele, something like that.
Canadian ukulele.
Like that. Kalalian. Something like that. Hey, but at least we're here. A lot of us are tired. Show must go on. It's going to be a lot of interaction as the players decide what they're going to do with their new real estate, and I can just sit back and look up stuff. Imagine that. Me, the GM, looking up rules in Pathfinder 2nd Edition for once. I know, it's shocking, it's different, but that's the kind of wild time we're going to have tonight.
Yes,
seem surprised.
Did you get...
there's an AP?
Yeah. No, I haven't got that yet.
Nope.
Yeah, because I just got an email. So,
ooh, like, game changer. Last week.
Yeah. Okay.
Have you taken a look at it yet?
Convince, I've
looked at it.
Convince me. The sponsors has already given us the adventures, and they've given us a whole bunch of first edition books, which are help. Fantasy Grounds is helping sponsor our first edition games. But because, I don't know, for whatever reason, they've been a little... not so eager just to drop every brand new second edition book on our lap. I'm not saying Daddy won't buy it for you.
I know, but I'm just saying there's four second ed books. It's been out for a year, though.
I have two uploaded. I got the Galorian Omens, right? Isn't that up and running for us? And let's check the old library here.
I meant actually like core books, because you have your the core book, which is and now the advanced player, because the rest are module. Hawk it over to you. Because now, since we're getting up in level, we can...
But Joe, we've planned out our dudes already.
I know, but there's some really cool stuff.
But wait,
yeah,
da 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 da.
Yeah, but with the
Lost Omens guide, there we go. Lost Omens world guide for me and for player. Yeah. Okay, and the core.
Like, I already have that, but I'm just saying that's for Lost Worlds. I'm playing Lost Worlds.
Well, you know, let me double check. Maybe I should do I'll take a moment and do some upload. We'll just boot you out of here. Do an upload, maybe Santa came early, we'll see. If not, so sell me on this. What this is actually a good gaming discussion for an episode. What's new and exciting in these players, Mr. Gibson, and what's different?
Now, what's new and exciting is that they've added classes.
Yes. Now, we had a go, not in this show, but in Dice for Dishonor, an Echoes of Honor extension around episode 22, 24 of season 1, we played second edition. You helped me convert because you weren't playing with them. You helped me convert Lion's Justice, the beginning of it, to second edition, and they played a swashbuckler. Matt played his witch backup character. Ryan played the new investigator.
Yep.
Rob was playing the Oracle.
Yep. So now they are in first. So you have the swashbuckler, you have the invader, you have the witch.
I have those now. I have like a beta for them right now, up and running.
I'm just saying, because when doing downtime, since we are actually getting into that type of stuff, mm-hmm. you can change depending on the amount of downtime. Like, okay, we all agree. Oh, we have a week off. Okay. In that week, Matt can
train.
I'm going to retrain. I'm now going to retrain a level. Instead of being a sorcerer, I'm now going to be a monk.
What?
I'm not going to do that.
I know. I'm just
But par example, yeah, you can completely retrain.
Although it would pair with my bloodline ability very well.
We were talking about not variant rules, but something they were pushing in the new second edition. I forget what they called it, though.
Yeah, they are variant rules. So
they are, but there's a new term for it.
Well, the retraining was in the core book.
No, but now they're asked. Now there's a new supplement.
Oh, okay. That stacks on
now,
top.
Now, again, is this DM's discretion, or is this like something they want to push to make the game a little bit more dynamic?
Cool. Everything is DM's discretion.
Yeah, and it's to make it a little bit more dynamic.
Honestly, I think it's a cool idea. Like, what's our end game? We're going to play this for 3 years, and we have a dwarven sorcerer, a dwarven monk. You guys didn't get to explore the races of their classes, at least of their classes. No. So, if you guys,
I don't think you can retrain your race.
No. That you can't.
Oh, yeah? Mr. Gibson is trying real hard to shed his humanity.
No. He's very admirably making a valiant effort.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, but they're just doing, since games
Frankie!
Are
even able,
Frankie! Now he can hear you.
Adrian!
We're deep diving into Age of Ashes in a live discussion about the new Advanced Players Core Book and how you could retrain all your class levels. Now, in Dice for Dishonor, Frank was asking us about, like, wiping out Cavalier and not just adding Paladin, but, like, reinventing himself as a Paladin. Apparently, in 2nd Edition, you can do this, because I do know you guys were sitting on the fence about some like the 2nd Edition multiclassing rules. A couple of our casts do not. And now with the Advanced Player's Guide, Mr. Gibson, I'll let you continue.
Yeah, it allows you to go, since we're playing through, hopefully, a full module or mods.
Six
other guys. Mm-hmm. If we live long enough, type thing, then you can change. As long as you take downtime, you can change your character. With anytime a new supplement comes out, instead of going, I really want to play this, but I'm playing this guy. Now I can just come together and.
Sounds cool.
It does. It allows you to take your long running character and modify it
retroactively.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, this is something I'd like to ask the public. Because I will leave this in the current episode. Episode 42, Frank. You're going to learn the meaning of life.
Oh, look at all the books.
Oh, he just grabs one off a shelf. You mean this book?
The Advanced Players Guide.
This book, right? He has a subscription. they send him stuff like, they're like, sorry, Mr. Bowman, Mr. Hamilton needs this. He's like, I'm not done with it. And they just take it right off of Jason's desk and mail it to Frank. Well, read about the holy hand grenade then from the book. He's got one.
I'm sure he's already read it.
Yeah, bring forth the holy hand grenade, Vanchok.
Vanchok, count to three. Nay, four.
Five.
I've been right out.
Hey, come on, guy. Like, public. It's been a lot. We've held off Python quotes for like forever. You start one quote, everyone goes cool, and then we cut it. We never do like the whole, you know. Not that we don't want to. We don't wish to.
No.
All right.
Oh, gosh.
Everyone is here. Thank you for coming. And just because I can, just in case I have to, we'll just leave it in. Welcome to another exciting episode. Episode 42 of season one. Now, are we even going to break this into seasons? Maybe this will be the one show that we just like have episode 205 and just keep going. You guys are on the edge, pretty much the end. It's an epilogue. It's epilogue time. It's, you know, how do you guys finish your day? Because you guys have finished, I didn't even really announce it last time, you guys have finished book one. And to
Did
prove
we
it,
find the deed?
It, to prove it, let's take your guy. Let's pick up the map where we left off. You guys defeated the door warden. Let's have a little look around. See, see what's what. See what you guys can make of it. Maybe Theoan and your prisoner Vaz will stop making out in the corner there and all that tension. And
some enchanted evening.
By the time you guys get back through the tunnel and get back to town, they're like engaged. So that'd be funny.
You will catch a hostage.
And when you find that hostage, Stockholm Syndrome will apply. Right? Something like that?
Right. Something like that.
I think about it. Stockholm Syndrome, like, it really is a hostage becoming enamored with their captor. It's a thing. So, you got me all messed up because you got me singing. I'm trying to find this map.
I'm still trying to jump into the game here. It's like taking
forever. So, sorry, while we're bringing up maps and getting back into this episode, Joe, you helped us convert part of Dice for Dishonor, Echoes of Honor episode, as we were saying, with the beta. Is there any major change in the actual recent book, or even you, Frank, that you noticed from the beta? Is there anything that they released? I know, is the Shuni race, those little pug people in that book? They have races as well as classes going, you guys?
To be honest with you, I just got it on Saturday. I haven't even cracked it open.
Oh, okay. Ryan convinced us that you've, like, you just cuddle up with every night.
Ancestries.
Sorry, yeah. Ancestries.
It's not, like, it's downloading files. It's done, like, a quarter, and it's sitting at, or not, like, a quarter, like, 5%, and sitting at 5%.
I don't know what's going on, man. Fantasy Grounds is slow today.
There we go. I just had to close it and relaunch it, because it was doing the same thing for me.
All right.
But, sorry, I was...
There we go.
Talking. Not listening.
Elsewhere.
I was elsewhere while still here.
No, anything else you wanted to mention that interests you in the new book while we're...
No, I'm just like a little kid in a candy store anytime something new comes.
Ooh, look, shiny. So nice.
Yeah.
Like, but I am impressed on the way they've done second ed. Just the way they're putting stuff out. Yes, it seems it's a lot longer in between, but it's polished instead of here's some stuff. Oh, here's fucking Errata's out of the Yang. Here's some stuff. Oh, here's... Like, they've only done one major errata out of the core book.
And it was almost right off the bat.
And it's been out for a year compared to other systems where it's an errata every month.
The systems of old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. But we've evolved beyond that now.
Yeah. Is it...
Right?
But,
right?
But no, like anytime they bring out new stuff, it's always nice. And the way they've allow you to retroactive your care is nice instead of, oh, crap, I really wanted that feed up. Or you ancestry thing at first
take
level.
Something that doesn't work the way you think it was going to.
Yeah.
And you're like, a feat.
Is magic missile not working out for you, Matt? Would you like a new... I know I'd like to give you a new freaking spell.
No, but like, like for Ryan, like his character. So,
sorry, Joe, go ahead.
Yeah, like with Ryan, his character, he had it set up as a like jumping, and now he doesn't even use it.
Nope.
Because he can't with that doesn't work.
Yeah.
So retraining for him would be good.
Okay.
Where other systems, you're okay. Well, here's your feet. Yeah. Too bad.
Now I need to go find a vampire a white.
Yeah. Or you know, I'll just lose a couple of levels.
That's fine. Old school levels. Retraining.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. Haunted what? Graveyard, you say? Yeah.
1d4 negative levels. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, shucks. Wait, why? You're not afraid? No. You see that guy back there wiggling his fingers? Yeah, he's got this.
Totally got this.
I'm just here to ditch those levels and fight her.
Yeah.
Fight, stall, whatever. Right. Let's monologue.
Frank, can we bring you a little closer? I'm getting a bit of echo from your room. And let's talk about the room you guys have just...
Let's talk about...
Yeah.
Let's talk about
the
room. Let's talk about rooms, baby. Let's talk about...
That never gets old for me. I'd always be in a dick, but that never gets old when he does that. This plane... rectangular room that sits before you after the door warden it falls. This plain rectangular room contains several empty chests, old wooden tables, and mostly barren shelves. It may have once been used as a vault or records room, but today only a few scraps of paper remain.
Paper?
Toilet paper. Clearly, this is the privy.
Nothing to see here.
Moving on. Ready to kick to that? In he goes.
Enter the room and search it intently.
Okay.
Leaving no stone unturned and no scab unturned.
Ooh. That's a graphic way to put it. I just want to zoom in here. Like, really, really zoom into the detail.
To the pixels.
To the detail. Theon, would you describe what you think you see in the actual graphic picture of this room?
If I scroll in, I see two tables.
Yeah.
I see what looks like either two kegs laid on side, or two chests.
Those are chests.
I see a square piece of parchment, ?
Yeah.
Map,
yeah.
Deed on it, one table, and the other table looks like it has a butthole.
Really?
it looks like a red clay vase or jar, you know, maybe a dwarven bong.
Sure.
What would you like to investigate first?
I will avoid the table butthole and move directly to this map.
All right. Picking up an old piece of parchment made of heavy, I believe they call it vellum, the reed paper. Like it's reinforced paper. Like it's thick, thick document paper. You know what I mean?
Vellum.
Vellum, yeah. Can I have
clearly worthless.
Can I have a society check as you read this over and try to make sense of this human garbage legal document?
A society check, you say?
Yes. This isn't written. If you assume it's something, it's not written the way a dwarf would write some kind of document.
How about a 22?
Yes. Theoan, this deed claims that the possessor is granted the legal right of ownership to Citadel Alderaan, which supposedly, you would think, from a collapsed stairwell over there, possibly lies above you. This is legal in Isgar, the country you stand in, just outside of Five King Mountains. This is legal in Cheliax, where the Hell Knights are from. And most importantly, it is legal by Hell Knight law, which means the Hell Knights, local, national, and Hell Knight law. The Hell Knights and both governments will not challenge you as long as you possess this deed. Whomever possesses this deed can own Citadel Alderaan, and that's the rub. Somebody takes this from you, they own it.
Well,
all right.
I'll have to get a dragon.
I'll read it out loud. Well, boys, looks like we've got ourselves a new home. And I will turn and offer it up to... Yeah, right.
And I will put... Look at this. Look at this.
And I will offer it up to Albright. That's too heavy for me. I don't want it.
I'll eagerly snatch it out and slip it into my robe.
Okay. Check the party sheet.
I will as soon as I'm in.
Okay. Shall deed to Citadel Alderaan. It just looks so shiny. I love moving that over there. Would you like me to place it upon your character? Since we know our sorceress, the many, many, many folds of unwashed robes is where no one would want to reach a hand. So, I mean, the only more secure place is like the deep folds of someone's chest hair that we know.
Yeah, if I hang on to it, that thing's bound to get soaked in blood.
Yeah.
He's like using the deed to clean his axe. Oh, crap. He, whoever, smear, hold this deed, smear, belongs to, you know, back to the mountain, right? So, gentlemen, mission accomplished? I mean, you guys came, let me ask you right up. Three dwarves come down the mountain, right? Three dwarves come down, it sounds like a bad joke, but no, seriously, three dwarves come down the mountain, right?
Yep.
Nope.
No, there's a bunch more.
Six dwarves came down the mountain and three proceeded through the town and out the other gate. What happened to them? Well, we'll get back to that. You three stayed in town to find coin to fund this brewery that you guys have been on about since day one. Falling in cahoots with a young prophet of a Desna halfling cleric, an old bardic dwarf conspiracy theorist, a shifty town council that leans one way or the other and doesn't really seem to be under anyone's one control, but humans are like that. Saving the town council from a fire, enlisted to the Call of Heroes, saving a small goblin tribe at the Citadel Alderaan, has led you on an investigatory...
You mean our living indentured servants?
Yes. They're completely expendable. Hey, you know what? Goblin
no,
lives
they're not.
No.
They're our friends.
No.
Hey, man. Goblin lives matter. All right? They're not going to be taking any smack from you.
Euros is going to have his wee troop of monk...
Disciples.
Disciples.
Yeah.
Aye.
They're already curling each other up on the wall in ropes like to get the, you know, to get the beef in, that kind of thing, right?
Well, for all the heavy lifting they got to be doing, they got to be in shape for it. Yeah, build strong cores.
Yeah. Where do you see them when you get back?
Oi.
So.
I can just see it now. They'll be looking at each other. Brother!
Fist bumping, chest bumping, right?
Little macho men.
They emulate those that they seem to have made an impression on them. Remember they had a couple little guys in armor because they took after Auk, the traveling champion, and Alec. They got a couple of guys, not that magic they'd have to be taught, but a couple of guys that like suddenly went bare chested and started working out 24/7. They got a couple of guys that are bristling with weapons, like a certain door killer that we know. Anyway, Guys, you have the deed. Like, this indeed. Is it. Indeed.
I have the deed.
Yeah.
Said it.
So,
kill the weight of responsibility hangs heavy off of that piece of paper.
Yeah, like, screw the portal, kill the prisoner and the cleric, and you guys are set, right? No one can
open the portal, jam them through it,
kill the prisoner and the cleric.
The humans. They're human, man. Well, if the conspiracy dwarf was here, remember, he already shut out the halfling?
No. Kill the human. Dwarves live forever. We'll just wait him out.
That's essentially the same thing.
Such wasted risk and effort. Trust me, they'll die.
What was it Theon said at the beginning of the adventure? There's plenty more humans.
Oh, the place is lousy with them.
I am willing to pay
everywhere.
Good dollar for this program to have, again, I've asked for this before, to have color art of the three of you guys silhouetted, right? Like Charlie's Angels in front of a portal, and then tiny little, like Joe's cleric, Cheryl's halfling, Rob's bard, all these little people, you know, sketched out and embossed because you guys are silhouettes. You have the monk with a foot and a mug, and on the mug is your brand in reverse silhouette, right? Mm-hmm. And on, and you've got, you know, our thinking guy instead of the gun doing things side. And over the top in the center, there's Theon with his axe. And it says, plenty more humans in reverse, just like printed right on the axe.
That'd be funny.
So, guys, what do you want to do? Let's talk about
chests.
Let's talk about
table buttholes.
Let's talk about death.
Search the room.
Oh, fine.
It's the loot.
What do we find? Well, two chests, two tables, old documents. Now, do you guys remember they cut and ran, the Hell Knights? So they clean this place out. If they had access to this room and somebody like whimsically laid the deed for you, if you can get past the door guardian amongst the portal room, which kind of seems funny, whoever did that, you know, pretty much clean the rest of the place out.
The chests are empty?
Looks like it. I am not seeing any other treasure.
Okay.
Well, you have prime real estate and some empty chests and some empty bookshelves and, you know.
Free real estate.
That's right. Free real estate. Messina.
Oh, that's phenomenal.
Yeah. A treasure unto itself. There's like a little, you open a chest, it's like a little dollhouse of the citadel, you know, and all the castles come up.
Well, lads, battle well fought.
Hey.
I think we've got our victory right here in my breast pocket. How's about we take a wee bit of time, catch up on some personal odds and ends?
Hey, we got the new house there we need to be fixing up. It's in door repair.
Aye. There's too much to be done here. Perhaps we can work out an arrangement with them goblins, have them maintain the grounds and whatnot, and a place to live.
So what we've so hard won is a half-ruined castle. We need to find funds to repair it.
Ah, a little bit of spit and a little bit of chisel. Fix this right up, dwarven style.
I'm liking that. Now, what's the word on these gates? We need to get those things up and working if we're to take advantage of them.
Oh yeah, I think we found a ring.
You found a ring of portals, yes.
We need to be doing some research on how best to get those working.
It doesn't look
like much of anything right now.
No offense, but I think I'll take care of that.
Oh, of course.
Now, tell me again, what was this arrangement we're talking about working out with? We last we've been toting our dungeon long.
There's two. Don't forget Renali.
Okay.
We know her story.
We know what her goal is.
She's actually over at the portal that she claims she came through right now, examining it, trying to figure it out, you know, wants to go home.
I've tried kicking it.
Don't
on a wagon.
Just lot. Run through it. Close your eyes and run through it.
Thump. Well, right now the portals appear vacant. You know, like there's just sort of a nondescript but polished hole behind them. You know.
Did you work out a deal with...
Nothing is yet. I'm just saying.
Was?
Yeah, I mean, from my point of view, she's really done not much wrong. You know, it wasn't her that tried to burn down the town hall. That was Kelmet.
We never find out a motive behind burning down the town hall.
Not that I'm aware of.
Hey, there's no purpose for that.
She blamed Kelmet for that.
Unless you want to take a job as a magistrate in that wee human town, I think I'll leave the business to them.
You mean let the town decide what to do with her?
No.
No, with that wee halfling who started the fires. It's not up to us to figure it all out.
No, it's just odd as odd.
As far as I'm with Theon on this, she hasn't done much wrong. And she certainly had opportunity. while we were working our way through here to put a knife into any of our backs, and she didn't. I think she's the kind of person, if they're once allied with what, they'd be more than willing to work with us.
Turn to the elf. Buzz, what do you say about this? We're discussing your fate. You should at least have two words in it.
Okay. Now, I'm assuming you guys, unless you do what you just did, where you turn to someone, that you guys are always speaking in Dwarven, because the human, your little buddy here, Niles, can actually follow along most of it, or at least he's just smiling.
One of the first things I will do during downtime is spend some time with Niles and teach.
There you go.
Well, you know what they say, like, being constantly exposed to it helps. Keep up. You want to understand what we're talking about? Like, you know, you guys just force him to speak it. Like, you know, you just don't speak human when we're alone. You know what I mean? It's actually helpful. I once took an American Sign Language course, and we weren't allowed to speak at all. And
that must have been hard for you.
No. It was. No, you know, because I'm
actually the hands. Like an episode of Tasmanian Devil. Just
yeah. You know, what's this? And I'm like, good hash. You know, there you go. that's an old Bill Bracken joke for you. So I'm just double checking what she speaks, and Dwarven doesn't seem to be one of them. So if you come and address her in Dwarven, she's either a really good actress or you just kind of get the, I don't
know. I'll say it in common.
Okay.
And repeat it. Elf, what do you have to say about your fate? You should at least have two words in it.
Well, of course I would like.
Albrecht just laughs. What kind of dwarves do you take us for? We wouldn't outright murder you.
If we was going to do that, we'd have done it up top.
So what do you do? She says, re-showing her bonds. You guys have got her.
Well, to be honest, you're shackled. You're the foremost expert we have in the knowledge of what's going on. You know what this is. I know what this is. Do you have any inklings, and would you be willing to work with us rather than against us?
Work with you how exactly? You realize, and she just can't help herself. I mean, it's obviously in her tone. She's that type of person, the I'm right, as opposed to, you know, wisdom once in a while. People would kill to have this information where this particular location is. Very, very dangerous people.
Well, then you'd best be careful that they not get their hands on it. Something terrible might come to you. And to us.
Ilas, we'd likely be willing to kill to keep it.
But you haven't killed me, which tells me you need me.
I think need's a strong word. Let's just say we're enterprising dwarves.
We're dwarves. We don't like to waste tools.
We're akin to recognizing talent. You seem to have a knowledge. Tell me again, what was your end goal in all of this?
She, as she's up in the top corner here, she turns and slowly holding the moment walks over to one portal and reaching out with her hands just sort of traces the etchings and filigrees. Each portal, as I said before, is covered with etching and carvings and reliefs of imagery, actual pictograms and such whatnot. She just closes her eyes in reverence and touches the elven artifact as if convincing herself it's not a... And then snaps her head towards you and answers her question. As I told you, I'm interested in necromancy. I wish to operate a laboratory delving into the secrets of death and dark powers. Now, Breach Hill has a lax policy on religion and personal practices, believe it or not. As long as one keeps those practices to oneself, hence my need for a secure location. And she's, you know, gesturing like all the way back up the tunnel where you guys found her. And since I find my reed very valuable to myself and probably to the necromantic community, I hired myself some temporary protection, she says, referring to the blood half-orc bandits. Simple as that. This, however, I would say is quite a game changer for the region. And as I said before, there are people that are interested in knowing its location, if it does exist at all. So here we are. We all know it exists. I'm curious, what were you willing to do to buy my silence besides threaten my life?
Buy your silence? Did you look at her. We're not talking about shutting you up. We're talking about keeping you down here so you can pursue whatever goal it was. We stand to benefit too that way. Whatever you find and research, you share with us.
So I'll be trading my bonds for Kate.
Or you can leave, and we'll return you right back to the town folk there. That's where you came from, yeah?
So you're implying a cut me loose and we go our separate ways? I keep your little secret a secret, and I can just do with my life in Breach Hill. Obviously, you already know my secret, it's not very popular public opinion that the type of magic I practice. So we each sort of have leverage on one another and could still amicably go separate ways.
Nay, lass, what I'm proposing is more of a cooperation, mutual benefit. You see, we may be able to provide you with some space in which to perform your experiments in exchange for your magical knowledge.
A partnership?
Something more akin. As I can see, you ain't really... You could shake it all up to a miscommunication if you're really... We're amicable.
She tilts her head forward and the tall ponytail drapes across one shoulder and her tight hair... Scrunchy already reveals her pale, long, slender features as a half-elf and her very, very long pointed ears, but she can't help a little smirk as she turns her head and shows you said large ear and says, I'm listening. The scene pulls out from down below through the ceiling and reveals a second dungeon where there are crispy birds and a ruined soul doll, and through the ceiling again where there is a Noposaurus, as the dwarves called it, lying in an open courtyard. And you see a pack of goblins outside a wall, training, digging trenches, campfires, muddied huts, you know, writing, scrawling on the wall so they don't forget the secret door you guys went into, like big arrows, that kind of thing. And we begin circling. The scene circles the globe once, twice, several hours. Gentlemen, as the scene comes down, where will we find you? Will we find our young cleric back in his tavern at worship, resting up from his adventures? Will we find you amongst the town council in whatever shambles of a building they have left, reporting them, turning in Vaz, or at least reporting on what you found, leaving some certain parts out? Will we find you guys looking to track down your kin? Will you approach the council for some sort of reward?
We're going to probably be wanting them to help in the rebuilding efforts.
All of these things count as what Pathfinder Section Edition will label as downtime.
Yay.
So let's talk about...
Cue the montage.
Yeah. let's talk about downtime. If you guys pull up the emails I sent you, specifically cut and paste from the second module of all the actual actions and downtime of costs, goods, workers, things you want to do, just repairing walls as opposed to making improvements to the actual citadel, bringing things in like furniture, or bringing things in like you guys want to set up a distillery or an actual brewery on site. Or
okay, so after I teach Niles Dwarven, or during the same period of time, because I'm sure we're not going to be doing it the whole time, but I'm also going to copy her spells into a new spellbook and return her spellbook.
We're kind of talking, let's gloss over a 6 hour, a 12 hour, a 24 hour, and a 48 hour point. You know, what are our intentions? Are you?
I think our short term goals are to make sure that Vaz doesn't immediately betray us. Okay. Once we have that out of the way,
okay,
then we're probably going to head back into town, see what we can liquidate, and see what kind of resources we can buy,
as well rent, as borrow some time or steal. Research for the, yeah. to activate the portals.
Yep. Okay. We need tools. We need materials
to manage the restoration of the citadel.
Okay,
but let's focus on the thing that's standing right in front of us. How do we open the gate that Rinaldi's standing right there for?
Yeah,
because without that, really, we don't have anything other than the trinkets we earned on our way down here. So we need to make something that's valuable.
Okay,
I think.
Mm-hmm. You have three casters down here before our scene even pulls out, and you're like, say, we're fading to black as you guys go over a long-winded deal. Let's start with some diplomacy with Vaz to secure her loyalty, temporarily or long-term. And yes, you guys can have a lead on this and aid another, you know, that kind of thing.
I will lead. Smash!
I want to lead!
Smash!
He's becoming more dwarven every day.
Yeah.
Me.
You want to act as the intermediary because you're a Breach Hill resident and, you know, she might believe you a little better.
I'll aid if necessary. Nope.
Yeah.
not going to aid with that one.
Not helping.
not helping.
He's nodding eagerly while he's sharpening his axe, you know.
I won't chop your head off entirely.
Accidentally in common, and if she betrays us again, we'll shave out her brander and take her hands.
I'm just curious. Like, I know this is kind of a faux pas for a DM to ask, but I'm just curious to touch upon the characters because it's always fun. What are your charisma scores and your actual knowledge skill in diplomacy? Is anyone trained in it?
I am trained in diplomacy.
Yeah.
And my charisma is my power stat.
Yeah.
Of 16.
So you
it
get.
It would be 18, but I'm a dwarf.
So you get three for your charisma and another three for being trained with a suitable plus six.
No, I get.
Yeah, I'm looking right at you. Oh, nine. Sorry.
Yeah, nine.
No, you're right. Sorry, I'm reading this backwards. Yeah, sorry. I'm looking this way. I'm used to plus. That's not bad. Okay. Niles, you wanted to take the lead on this one?
Yep, plus eight.
Yeah, not bad at all. But again, a favorable circumstance since the dwarves she sees as her captors. Not that I give you a bonus, but it's in my right possibly to give them a negative since, you know, this seems to be possibly a little bit more of an intimidation thing. And what's your charisma, sir?
I think.
Okay, as well.
He is equally sexy.
Yeah,
bringing us to our jailer, Theon has quite the personal interest in keeping her in line after she ran or was put in charge of her. What about you? I know you're big on intimidate.
Never get why he's into those skinny chicks.
I'm decent with intimidate.
Seven.
Let's see, I have a eight charisma,
negative one,
which earns me a negative one penalty.
Still, there's a certain charm to your veiled and open threats.
Yeah. A certain kind of rugged charm, to call it, right? And I have a total of plus five to diplomacy. I'm trained in it.
That's not actually not bad. And last but not least,
you go to talk. I skip diplomacy day like every day.
Oh, dude, I gotta put that on a t-shirt. Ryan has got himself a quote in Star Wars. We actually had Frank's character quote. We're making shirts for the merch store, and he has Old Man Zin, and it was Good Cop Airlock, you know, as opposed to Good Cop Bad Cop. But I skipped diplomacy day. That is awesome, man. Diplomacy day. And just put, like, I don't know, a natural one or something.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. Said it, the t-shirt formed in my head. That's why I'm so excited. Sorry.
That's fair. No. Murdos's physical attributes are phenomenal, except for when it comes to his looks. He's got a face only a mother would love. You know, getting pummeled and learning how to pummel. The baitins.
He's got
they come by getting bit.
You get the cauliflower ears and the whole bit.
Oh, his nose is janked up. He's got scars and all sorts of.
So what's your charisma?
It's an eight.
With a negative one. Okay.
Yeah. He went to the same school that Theoden did of learning.
You actually have no training in diplomacy intimidation, so you'd actually roll at a negative one.
Oh, I un-diplomacy and I un-intimidate.
Un-diplomatize.
Yeah.
You think intimidation. Yeah, but intimidation with a little training, right? He's just so cuddly with all that fur.
Yeah.
Okay. So. Where were we? So Niles is leading with a 16 and Al and a failed. So it's really only an 18. So at this point, you know, she hears you guys out. She seems agreeable. But then again, I mean.
Then again, she's an elf.
I was going to say then again, sense motive in this is perception.
All right.
If you guys. I don't like calling for sense motive, but if you guys are like wary of something, if you want to play it up for flavor, but if you want some kind of confirmation, ask for
24.
Ask for sense motive. Yeah. She's an intelligent woman, like to go along with your plans while she's bound and under guard and you know what I mean? But she does ask questions about the terms. She does ask about.
Obviously, before the negotiations even began, she would have been unbound.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's willing to share her spell knowledge.
There are actual dwarven rules.
Okay. As a simplified condition, she would like to share magical knowledge with the sorcerer. As in, I would like my book back, but I'm willing to share its contents with you and teach you everything you want to know, but I'd like it back. And I would also like, because she's interested in magical knowledge, you know, things that you've picked up. She's interested in any items you've picked up, you know, that type of thing.
Oh, why do you only look at that? It's all poison.
Every single one of those.
Not all of them.
Most.
Anyway, so it seems our sorcerer has gear, magical items, and knowledge that she's interested in bartering with as some sort of a payment or incentive to stay and work. Do you return her code book to her? Remember, she had a book of all kinds of nonsense that was in code?
No. I never saw it. Don't know what you're talking about.
Okay. Now, you guys picked that up. Was that on her person or was that back in her room?
If it's the book I'm thinking of, we got that in her room just past the deadly doorframe.
Yeah, there was one that was like, such fools, they don't realize what they're getting into, blah, blah, blah. But that was like side notes in English. Then there's another book, I think, that she's carrying with her spell book, and it's completely coded. And like I said,
I don't even think we mentioned that, to be honest.
Oh, you guys just scooped up all her stuff. Yeah. I'm just saying, though, if you took it from her, you know, during the fight, she remembers she had it on her, she would like all of her personal belongings, including all of her books, back.
And I wouldn't object to providing them. And as for the exchange of magical knowledge, of course, it would go both ways. You know, it'd be a partnership. We're not assholes.
Except that code book. That stays with us. She's got secrets, and I know good and well she's not telling us everything. We've played a fairly even hand with her. I want to make sure she's doing the same. If we have somebody translate, we know what's here. If it turns out nothing for us to worry about, then we give it back.
Okay. So, but you do, but you do offer it back after it's translated.
I don't let her know that we have it.
No, I'm pretty sure there's two books.
Yeah.
There's
in the party treasury. Yeah. Journalist.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a personal journal that you took off her when you took her spell book. She would like that back. Theon's saying, no, we're going to have, you know, not now. Okay. So we'll see how that plays out. Anything else before we leave this location, I guess, as we're kind of going, like, now, keeping this sort of loose, right? Because this could take minutes, this could take hours, right?
Yeah.
Now we pit, I'm assuming you guys want to pit all three spellcasters against the gates. How do we get these things up and running?
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
So the gates themselves, let's talk about knowledge arcana.
22.
But natural 20.
Nice. Oh, it's acrobatics, though.
Oh, still counts. Natural 20.
That was a sweet backflip.
What?
He was so surprised he shit in Niall's pants.
I clicked the wrong button.
There's Rinaldi, like the spider, like, what's wrong with you people? Still a natural 20.
Counts.
Oh, hang on. Well, I don't know. Maybe the monk's training him. You got it. Look at you. Woohoo. Well, like I said, the minds are thinking, and then there's Theo and Dad is kind of like guarding. So you two are like, let's see you do the backflip. I did it, but no one saw it.
No.
Right?
Except for the monk. Can of roll.
That's what I rolled.
Okay. Oh, so the cleric, we're going to step up. Okay. So I need three.
I do have no knowledge or canna.
No, that's fine. It's better coming from the players than just relying on like two NPCs. So who would you think, who would you like to rely on for your second aid? Vaz or an ally?
Yes.
One seems a more educated wizard. The other has personal experience with the gate.
Let's try personal experience. Let's go with Rinaldi. We haven't heard much from her.
Okay.
See if she's got something to chime in. And she's standing right there.
She told you that she witnessed them activating it, but they stood in front of it and chanted and fuddled, you know, manipulated items, blah, blah, blah. I didn't get a good look, but it's remained open long enough that she kind of slipped in. And then it's been closed for a while. Because she had to like sneak in and then hide, and you know what I mean. So it's not. She says, "I don't really. Like, I saw them activated. It was them, but I didn't get a really good look at, you know, a spell or anything. You know,
Then just roll a 20. Come on, Rinaldi. I didn't even see a
11.
Can I crawl all over the gate?
Yeah,
and just inspect it. It's made out of stone, right?
Yeah.
All right, I wanna lick it like on every. 10-inch by 10-inch basis.
You know, now that I've loaded the second adventure, I think I actually have an impact. Let's have a look here.
Because I'm a dwarf. I know stone. I speak stone. Tell me your secrets. Yeah,
this is the gate. This is the gate that Rinaldi's in front of, saying I came out of this gate.
See if there's anything inscribed on it, like speak friend and enter, you know.
Yeah, that's me. I'm looking for like that secret recess. You know, push this little button. It's like, maybe like an elevator. You push a button. I want to search the structure.
Yeah,
and I will help him.
Take your time, take your 20. Okay, so the boys are licking the gate, as it were. You see the reliefs of vines, plant life, and birds all carved into, recessed in the gate, and circles. These circles go from sort of a 9 o'clock all the way up 12 o'clock down to a 3 o'clock position over the top of the archway.
Rinaldi, they're not circles. They're showing the moon phases. New to full.
Very good. They are.
Wayne to wax, they say.
That wasn't Rinaldi, though. That was just the GM being vague. But good on you. Waxing and waning. Question is the circle at the bottom full? Or the circle that is depressed at the top full or new moon? And it repeats to the other side. It actually shows from one phase all the way to the other, but then all the way back to the beginning phase. And some lovely birds. There's an African swallow. There's an eastbound African swallow, you know, carrying two coconuts together. I mean, if you look at the top left of the gate, there's a swallow and there's a moon right under it. I mean, it might as well just be carrying a coconut.
Fair enough.
All right, then. So, research. Take all the time.
Okay.
And see if we can reach understanding with...
Yeah, without the gate working, what we've got ourselves is a half-ruined castle up top.
Aye. Which still needs taking care of.
Oi.
Okay. So you guys are willing to skip going back, and you guys are going to camp out for as long as it takes until you can either come to a decision that's like either that you cannot operate it, or, you know, we got to give it everything we can figure out.
Yep.
All right. Yep. So back to those Arcana checks. That was a good backflip. Voss saw it. She gives you a nod, a little golf clap there, Niles. But back to the actual
check.
No. What was your?
What's your modifier?
You guys are spamming the board here. Where's the?
Oh, it was the same. It's the same bonus. So 26.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like I just
diplomacy
same modifier.
Niles perception with a natural. Niles acrobatics trained. Oh,
yeah,
I see.
Because that was your Arcana check. Right? Yeah. If you look at your skill list, Arcana is right below acrobatics.
You clicked on the wrong one.
Yes, because everybody's been telling me just to click now instead of dragging.
Okay. Not my fault you clicked on the wrong roll. However, I am a gracious DM, and I got to say, Mr. Gibson has been exceedingly helpful to the DM.
And patient.
But I'm still going to make you burn a hero point if you want to magically convert that. You know, he does
I had one earlier.
Yeah. What a dick move, eh? He does a backflip, and he's like reciting arcane knowledge just to up the sorcerer. Ha-ha! It's Origin! And then, you know, why are you doing that? To mix the booze. There you go. All right.
No, it's just doing what?
No, he's just trying to one up. He's next thing he's going to kick a door in. He's like, I can do everything you guys can do.
Yeah.
He hiccups and tumbles backwards, but then he just catches himself because he's light on his feet. He saw the rapier.
Watch me grow a beard.
Yeah. Sheer force of will. All right. So also helping you in this world of Arcana, we have Vaz with a healthy 23. Because she has like a plus 13. And what did we get for Al?
22.
Now, I believe as a player, you guys wanted Al to lead and we're backing you? Or Niles, did you just like go along going, ha!
You asked anybody to do.
Yeah.
I think they were all independent.
That's fine. I know Niles could actually get away with saying he was independent and just enjoy that natural critical 20 because... I was focusing on the other party members, and Niles just goes over and goes,
Because it's Fantasy Grounds. I rolled a natural 1 for one check and a natural 20 for the next. Surprise, surprise.
Says the guy who wants me to hit up Fantasy Grounds for a free book. Stop bitching.
Yeah, No. Like, their books are amazing. Their software.
Well, they actually have the new one with the lighting and everything, the ultimate
their
stuff.
Random die roller.
Yeah, random.
Yeah. What's the new one? What's the Unity? Is it Unity? Yeah, Fantasy Grounds Unity.
Does the same thing.
Unity.
I gave you a perfectly good chance to save face. My face, Mr. Gibson. Yeah, just boot him from the call. Okay, so Niles has a stroke.
Honestly, it's no worse than a roll team.
Yeah. All right, they're all the same.
I don't think you guys have liked any virtual. Now, I said, like, you guys want to hook up a camera like I got and roll real dice? Go nuts. You know, I don't trust you.
Yeah, but we can't see your dice.
Even you know, at this point, I think the fans would trust. I got right there. Look at that. You know, show that.
I can't see it because so in Zoom you are this big, dude.
No, it's okay. He rolled a J.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah. I don't know. It looks like he rolled a Cthulhu.
Yeah, let me make it big, and I still can't.
Looks like a 15.
15, maybe. As everybody's got their fucking head turned.
No, if I just grab my monitor and oh.
So what do we learn with Niles' natural 20 in?
That's what we're
all waiting with bated breath.
He's been stalling. So
he's been stalling.
What does one bait one's breath?
Images of hawks and moons interspread with jungle vegetation on trees decorate this Eadara along with icons sacred to Kephis. Now that seems like a generalized statement, but think about it. Niles believes the images are actually hawks. That is the type of bird fowl. Matt Albrick pegged the moons, and Niles believes that this is elven relief of jungle vegetation, decorating what he is calling an Eldara, A-I-U-Dara. Eldara basically means elven portal.
So speak, friend, and shell.
So he goes over and whispers, Adara.
Do I recognize any of the symbolism in our adventure so far that matches up?
No, this down here, these chambers, completely different construct. Like this entire room, once you guys came down the mushroom sinkhole, complete change of landscape. Sure, you're underground, but the tiling, the architecture, everything. It's like this was an actual chamber built by elves thousands of years ago. And then there was a cave complex. There was built on top of it, built on top of it, built on top of it. And, you know, I mean, obviously the Hell Knights knew it was here because their deed to the castle is sitting right there.
Here.
Yeah. So here's a question. The Hell Knight Order of the Nail is all about what? Do you guys remember?
Nails.
Society check. Yeah. And? Obviously, you got a natural one.
Order of nails.
The order of the nail.
Yeah, 18. Lots of nails.
They're big on civilization and society itself, so they see the sort of wild frontier as an affront, as a threat. They want to push it back. They want to keep it control. You know, if there's like a big satyr population, this sort of the Hail Knight would have a problem or issue with that kind of thing. They're always setting up outposts and looking to push back nature around settlements.
So the fortress was like a plug to stop.
Yeah, they're almost like they're like pro city and anti-forest civilization, you know, kind of thing. They have other tenets, but sort of a glossary term, let's say. That's kind of what they're, you know, say from the dwarven perspective, that's what they seem about. And here they are building. So did they even know it was down here? Maybe only the head members. Like maybe this was a secret amongst the high clergy, and then your Joe Knight didn't know that was down there. You know, I mean, they take a perfectly good way station. It's in crumbles. They find a perfectly good port arrangement. Maybe they didn't have a way to activate it. They have a sub room. They turned it into a vault. Obviously, they found a way past the door warden because that is not Hell Knight construction. I can tell you that. You could tell that this really, you know, this wooden door golem is seemed to be sort of like an ancient elven animated arcane guardian. Vaz can tell you that. So as you guys look around for answers, I'm telling you, there's a bunch more questions. But getting back to the portal at hand, no interaction with basic, like you guys detect magic, it detects magic. Take some kind of stimulus, like a small magical item, Vaz, you know, or Renali said they manipulated items, you know, that type of thing, if we can sort of juice it. Get it to react to something or a type of magic, all this sort of experimentation of, you know, think of a bunch of guys in a laboratory and they got the beakers and they're like, okay, we took a substance and we exposed the substance to acid, but it didn't melt because it must be glass. You know, we took this substance and we put it in a wind chamber and it blew away. So we have to go get another sample and blah, blah, blah. You know, like they're experimenting on it. So this is what the wizards are there. They're experimenting on the portal, seeing what kind of stimulus might activate it. And we're getting a whole bunch of nada, which leads Vaz and from Renali's testimony to believe that there is a key, an actual physical object that you need to unlock or open this portal. So one might assume that if it's not here, that it is available in Breach Hill or in a dungeon you guys cleared. You know, is there inventory that you guys perhaps overlooked?
Do we have any inclination of what this item is? Any shape?
They could say, it could be anything. It could be a hidden item. It could be like a necklace, a ring, a brooch, just a physical item that's been enchanted and the disguise is the item. Oh, you never think that this rock is, you know, a keystone. You never think that this metal thing is, you know, that was around a necklace.
Well, we gathered everything magical that we came across.
And what? Halfway through the adventure, what did you do? What did you do, Mr. Witt? You sold all your shit.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, you did. So now I'm telling you, there's a 50-50 chance that you guys just sold a portal key and it's floating around Breach Hill. And Renali will now throttle the person responsible.
Oh, I won't say that out loud, but I will go through the magical stuff that we have so far.
Oh, no, she's already choking Vaz. And Vaz is like, I wasn't even with them. I have not. What are you doing? And she's like, I love you. You know, that kind of thing going on. So you guys enjoy the chick fight and they, you know, place
go
bets.
Through, then recall that we sold a bunch of stuff and be like, right, I'm going to need some time to organize and over. Get things started with the recondition. In the meantime, in a dwarven huddle, it's totally possible.
What? We gotta go. Wait. But before we do anything, let's examine the rest of the gates, see what we can learn from these guys, because there may be more than one key that we stumbled across and not know it yet. So let's give them all a check out, see if there's any. There could be multiple keys we're looking for.
Well, it hasn't given us. Has it given any statues in the center here a good staring?
Yeah, you guys listed off all the deities and then kind of went back to the door.
Yeah, listed off the deities, but have we actually looked at the statues? Maybe that might have something to do with it.
Hmm. It's one pointing. you know, are they all like checking their watches? Damn it, we sold the watch that we found. You know, something like that, I take is where you're going with this, Miros, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So with Miros examining the statues, and again, pretty much knowledge religion, knowledge society for ancient elven stuff, because that's your history check, and knowledge arcana, roles that I'm going to constantly ask for. We will see you next time on Age of Ashes Live, the Elven Portal Podcast. Oh, gee, this is why we named it that. Because, you know, dwarves could come and go. Dwarves could die. Dwarves could apparently revamp their character classes and come back in new jammies and be a completely different dwarf. But
the
these elven...
The wizard.
Yeah, these elven... She trains you as a necromancer. Joe would just quit.
All emo. He's wearing, like, eyeshadows.
Joe would quit.
Eyeliner.
Gibson would quit because he's been dying to play a necromancer in every show that we've had. We keep talking him out of it or the rules. He's like, nope, not powerful enough. You come back as a necromancer. And we'll see you next time on episode 43. But gentlemen, here you are playing with your new portals. You have the deed to Citadel Eldraeon. What are you going to do next? You got a necromancer that you're trying to lure as a partner. You got this poor spider woman you want to take home. What's your next order of business?
See where the portals lead?
No, fixing up the citadel, setting up the bree, nestling in.
Well, we need money.
Own, no, no. Wing. No, Ryan.
We need money.
What's your next order of business?
We probably have enough money in our ill-gotten gains that we can actually repair the citadel. It's not that expensive.
Oh, nice.
To have come on.
Forces going.
Niall, save him. What is primary uno?
Oh, we got to get drunk.
There you go. Duh. It's victory drink. Who cares about the key?
Yeah. Let's get plowed.
There you go. How about a drinking song there, Miros?
Ole, 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 ole. Ole, ole.
I was hoping for, you know, I would walk 5,000 miles and I would walk 5,000 miles.
That's a marching song there. You don't confuse the two.
I'd like to thank the cast and crew of Age of Ashes Live, and we will return for a second season, but we'll probably just call it episode 43 very soon. If you don't see it in a week, stay tuned. We have some other seasons and shows to cap, but we will come back stronger, better, braver, and don't tell Joe, but I'll probably just go buy those books. See you next time.